Well, as everyone knows, we are in the second week, really heating up now, the Queensland election. It's a really big election for a whole range of reasons. Obviously, we've come through the COVID period and I'm still going through it, in fact. It's also the first election where there'll be set terms, so 4-year terms for the very first time. And obviously, so much going on locally, statewide, globally. It just all seems to be happening at the moment. So it's a really important election. I'm really honoured to have my next guest here in the studio. He's the incumbent MP at Barron River. He's a cabinet minister, Craig Crawford. Welcome to the King Review.
Ah, great to be here, Gavin.
Thanks for being here. I should also mention, as I did last week when I interviewed a CATA candidate from Cook, I did invite the LNP candidate for Barron River, Linda Cooper, to be here in the studio for a bit of a discussion. I didn't hear back from Linda, unfortunately. So, Craig, you're it. You're in the hot seat. Welcome.
Oh, that's do I get her time slot as well, mate?
I think you do. You almost get, mate, any minutes in an election campaign, as you know, are critical. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here. Look, I don't want to talk too much about politics. Obviously, we can't avoid it. We're trying to do something a little bit different with the show. But I guess just if you were to reflect now, particularly on this most recent term, a quick snapshot, as quick as you can, your highlights and your lowlights. Go for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, highlight, I think, was definitely becoming a cabinet minister. You know, getting that phone call from the Premier. I can remember the day I was washing the dogs in one of those like $10 hire things. I think I dropped the dog when I saw the phone ringing and it said Anastasia Palaszczuk, because I think I knew what it meant. And, you know, and that was, you know, that was a fantastic moment. And I've got to say, you know, having going into cabinet and just seeing what government looks like on the other side of that door, you know, it's an incredible experience of being in cabinet. Not too many Queenslanders get to see it, what it's like. It sounds really easy from the outside. It's really complex. Lowlights, look, you would know this as well from being an MP. Politics takes a real toll on your personal life, on your family, on your friends. Sometimes your friends don't want to be your friends anymore because they don't believe in your position. Some people only want to be your friend because of who you are. And, you know, it can be quite challenging. I think the real low light for me was I was running late for a meeting one day and I backed the car out and I backed over my dog and I killed her. And
I was devastated. Very sorry to hear that. Yeah, I hadn't, so that hadn't
was,
heard that.
For me, that was the really, like, why am I here and why am I doing this?
The rush to get to that meeting. And we don't want to harp on it, but regardless of what side of politics people are from, it's actually a bloody hard job. And it's not to whinge about it, as I'm sure, you know, you don't whinge about it either. But, you know, Polly's cop a hell of a lot of criticism, sometimes justifiably so. But, you know, it is actually the personal toll that it takes. And I think, you know, I guess what we've seen through COVID and you know, been front and centre as a cabinet minister, we've seen at a federal level as well, you know, the last 6 to 8 months to be in the position of a political leader, you know, the toll that it takes personally. And I think people, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about this. I think people's perception of politicians has changed for the better, because I think politicians at all levels have done a really great job in the most extraordinary, most difficult circumstances. How do politicians keep that going? Because as I said, I think people's respect has gone up a little bit for pollies versus perhaps what has happened over in the past. Mate, how do politicians try and keep that goodwill up going forward?
Yeah, look, really good point. And I think that when you have a look around the world, around the country, good political leaders have made their choices and their decisions based on really good advice. And it's, you know, I think the key to being a good minister or premier or prime minister is to ensure that you have those senior leaders nearby and that you trust their instinct. I'm not talking about policy advisors and stuff. I'm talking about commissioners, chief health officers. You know, you want to know that you've got an outstanding police commissioner. You want to know you've got an outstanding emergency services commissioner. These are the people that are going to make the real tough calls on those days. And you might be the leader that stands up in front of the TV and says, evacuate this town or do this in the cyclone. But, you know, and the same thing with the chief health officers as well, all around the world. You know, we've seen some politicians do it very badly, where they've discarded the advice of the expert, someone who's been to university for numbers of years and gone, no, I'm a politician, I think I know better. they make fundamental mistakes. So you've got to make sure, you know, and I heard a phrase once, someone said to me, you know, if you're the chair of a board, you need to be the dumbest person in the room when you walk into your boardroom. And I think it's true.
Well, it's like a business owner, you know, surround yourself with people who are smarter people, and you not only benefit the business or the organization or the government, but it makes you look better as well. So it's a double win. Look, we're going to just dance around a little bit here, but border closures, obviously a massive topic, none more so than here in Cairns. You've obviously, you know, your cabinet has got that position and you back sort of the chief health officer there. But if you were to cast your eye, I guess, a little bit more broadly nationwide, there are so many interpretations. It's almost obviously every state has got its own interpretation. The feds have come out in the last couple of days talking about their definition of a hotspot. Look, if you could talk objectively, is that a concern for you when you think about, are we one country? There's so many different definitions. It's obviously confusing for business owners, for residents, for everyone. I mean, is that a concern to you that there isn't this uniformity?
Well, I think the first point is that every state would have, you know, gone to the shelf at the start of the global pandemic to grab the instruction manual, and there wasn't one there.
There wasn't one, exactly.
Because the last time we did this was 1919 or something. So so every state has had to work this out on the fly. I think one thing we'll get at the end of this, whenever that might be, is I think there will be a national agreed standard on what that rule book looks like, because I think.
But didn't ScoMo try to do that? Didn't in National Cabinet he tried to, I guess, bring everyone together, and he clearly didn't get that across the line. Are you confident that that could happen?
Look, I think it could, and I think it'll happen sooner than later. You know, like obviously, and we mentioned politicians before. You know, so obviously Queensland in is an election now, and WA will go to one in another month or so's time. So you've always got to try and do these sort of things in the clear air outside of elections. But, you know, there's been good conversations, I already know, at that level about having an agreed set of principles. So I think that will happen sooner rather than later, potentially, you know, this side of Christmas, I think, where all of the National Cabinet will be able to agree on what it looks like. And I think that, you know, I think that would be a good place. I don't think any state has done it wrong, but I think every state has turned up with a different set of rules that they've developed from their chief health officers, you know. But as I said, there was no rule book for this. Mm. So, you know, they're writing it as they move along.
As they move along. Being a cabinet minister, now I was only an assistant minister, so didn't climb the heights that you have. And as you said, only few Queenslanders, I guess, get that privilege. So it is an incredible achievement to reach that level. I know even in my capacity, I had a hell of a lot of travel around the state. Normally, when the tourism minister didn't want to go to the outback to cut a ribbon, the poor old assistant, or the parliamentary secretary, as it used to be called, was sent out. But there was a lot of travel on top of your local electorate responsibilities. On reflection, yes, it's been a great privilege, but has being that cabinet minister fed into a perception that you haven't spent as much time in your electorate because you're in Brisbane for cabinet, then you're obviously there for parliament, and you're travelling around the state with these extra responsibilities?
Yeah, look, it's a really, like, it's a difficult thing to balance. You know, Curtis obviously had to do it when he was treasurer and a range of other ministerial gigs.
And
as well.
I think the difference, isn't it though, or the challenge, I guess, for you in this re-election is that someone like Curtis, very safe seat.
Yeah,
he almost doesn't. You know, he could stay at home. Not that he ever would, of course. Curtis very hardworking, but he's in a very safe seat now. Barron, as we know, has back and forth. It's been a bellwether seat. So I think it's a particularly extra challenge for you in a seat like Barron River.
It certainly has. You know, and one that we've known since, I guess, since day one of going in. You know, you're right. It's the bellwether. It probably always will be for a long time. I think that's a good thing for Cairns. So yeah, look, you know, it's about balance. You know, and, you know, cabinet does take you to Brisbane every Monday morning. There's a cabinet meeting, and there are other mandatory things that you need to go to. You know, you are a minister representing the state of Queensland. There are Queenslanders, you know, in a range of places that need you because of your ministerial portfolio. And obviously emergency services took me to every single corner of every small town. I had to chase every natural disaster, every cyclone, every significant bushfire. That takes a toll. You've got to make sure that you can balance that up locally. But there's a positive side, and the positive side is that being a minister means that my electorate has a representative sitting at the table in cabinet. And do not underestimate the amount of negotiation and pitching of things that we can do as ministers. So every Monday I could go into Cabinet, and before Cabinet started I could go, oh, Mark Ferner, I need to talk to you about something. Mark Ryan, Mark Bailey. So I was able to actually push a lot of electorate matters to them. And they did the same to me, don't get me wrong. So I was able to do a lot of business that ordinarily you would have to try and push through the normal channels. So sometimes we managed to cut a lot of it through.
Mm. And as a backbencher, as you said, you don't get that level of access and that level of influence. So that is the positive, I guess, for our region. Look, we have to wrap it up. You are the underdog at this point, I should say, Craig. I always follow, not a betting man myself, but of course you look at the online bookies, you are slightly behind in the odds. How do you feel? Are you going to win? What does the next few weeks look like?
Well, I think the last odds I was $2.40. I think so. Mate, I tell you, look, I'm not a betting man, but get on it, you know, like, you know, like it's
the hot tip. $2.40.
Okay. That's right, $2.40. You know, I'd be throwing some coin on it. I think it's going to come down to the line, you know. Like I'm certainly not going to be overconfident about it, you know. Like, you know, Linda is a tough candidate. She's got a good reputation locally, and I think that it will come right down to the line. You know, it is the bellwether. It's going to be one on the night that I think that all of the political commentators are going to be focusing on to see whether they can see the needle moving one way or the other. So, a bit over 2 weeks to run. Watch this space. But, hey, look, if you've got a bit of extra cash, mate, $2.40, get on it.
Get on it. Barron River is the hot tip. Look, my view is I think Labor will be re-elected. I think it'd be very interesting here in your seat, perhaps in Cairns, obviously Townsville. The LNP, I think, needs a net gain of about 9 seats across the state. So my money, if I were a betting man across the state, would be on Labor being re-elected. But look, it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks. Craig, I know how busy campaigns are. I know that you'll go from meeting to supermarket to shopping centre to engagement. You'll have premiers and your fellow ministers visiting. So it's an insane time. Thank you for all that you've done for the far north, regardless of what side of politics you're on. So best of luck over the next 2 weeks. Thanks for being on the King Review.
Thanks, Gavin.